Welcome to Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource, the radio show that helps you find answers on important topics like finances, senior housing, estate planning, real estate, health, and much more. Now, let's join Kupuna Wiki hosts, Brandon Lau and Andrew Leon.
Aloha and welcome to the Kupuna Wiki radio show. This month, we are talking about estate planning, and in studio, we have Frederick Ru, owner of Estate Planning Hawaii. Kupuna Wiki is Hawaii's senior resource. We talk to the best local professionals in the state regarding topics such as real estate, senior housing, estate planning, finance, and health, so our kupuna and families can find the best resources in the midst of a life transition. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Brandon Lau.
And I'm Andrew Leon,
your host for the Kupuna Wiki radio show.
Our title sponsor for today is Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-9033.
And now we have our real estate tip of the week brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
A mortgage credit certificate is a certificate issued by a certain state or local government that allows a taxpayer to claim a tax credit for some portion of their mortgage interest paid during a given tax year. The MCC program is designed to help first-time homebuyers offset a portion of their mortgage interest on a new mortgage as a way to help homebuyers qualify for a loan. Because this is a tax credit and not a tax deduction, mortgage lenders will often use the estimated amount of credit on a monthly basis as added additional income to help the potential borrower qualify for the loan.
For more information on mortgage credit certificates or how to qualify for financing, contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors at 753-9033. Well, again, today in studio, we have the pleasure of speaking with attorney Frederick Hu, owner of Estate Planning Hawaii. Welcome, Frederick. How are you?
Good morning, or good afternoon, I guess. I'm fine.
Depending when they're listening.
That's right.
So, Frederick, I know you've had quite a diverse background in law, in your personal life. Maybe you can start off with law and let us know, how did you get involved into your current practice, and what interested you in the first place?
Oh, well, for those of you who are old enough to remember a show called Perry Mason.
I do, by the way.
Oh, great. I grew up watching that show, and I felt so intrigued by the way he was able to break down a witness on the witness stand and how they would confess to the crime. And I said, hey, I'd like to do that someday. And that propelled me to attempt to go to law school.
Okay, so where did you end up first studying and then practicing law?
Well, I actually started going to school on the mainland, and I came back after a year and finished up at the University of Hawaii.
Okay.
And then I went on to the University of Hawaii Law School. It was a fairly new school. Mm-hmm. I'm part of the seventh graduating class of the law school, and we were based in some portable buildings down in the quarry, if you folks remember what it looked like way back then. This was before the athletic facility was built. We were in some, my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, used to call it the shacks.
Humble beginnings.
Yes.
So from there, where did you end up practicing?
I've done all kinds of things. I worked at the legislature. Mm-hmm. I worked in the Congress for a congressman. I did a judicial clerkship down at the circuit court, doing all kinds of things. I was general counsel for a corporation. Mm-hmm. Then I went out on my own, and I actually got into estate planning because my sister, who is also an attorney, called me and said, hey, I'm retiring. Would you like to take over my practice? And I hemmed and hawed about it, and I thought about it, and I says, okay, I'll check it out. And then I took it over. She retired, and I'm running it solo now.
So it was a family practice?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
She was also a solo.
Okay.
And so it was kind of fortunate that I was still around, and
right,
I could take over as a solo practitioner also.
So how long have you been in estate planning?
Estate planning, maybe 15 plus years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of changes since that period in time?
Yeah. The federal law has actually been modified so that probably 99% of the population is not subject to the federal estate tax.
Right. These days.
But yes, you never know. They just changed that a few years back, and who knows what happens. They can change it back in the next few years.
Right.
But, yeah, so at this point, if you've done your documents a long time ago, it may not necessarily be pertinent to what the current state of the law is.
Right. And we'll definitely get more into that. But okay, before we do, it says here that you were a referee for 36 years.
Yeah.
Maybe you should share a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was asked to be a basketball referee in some small community leagues,
right,
for the young kids. And eventually I got asked to referee in high school. And eventually I got to do the small college game here. And from there, it it went up to where I was asked to start doing some Division I men's NCAA basketball.
Any notable games that you were reffing?
Oh, well, I've done, you know, over the years, I've done a few Rainbow Classic games. And I knew, there was one incident where I knew that I was made out to do this, because I don't know if you remember a guy named Corliss Williamson.
Yes.
Played for Arkansas.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did one of their games when they were in the Rainbow Classic, and when I came out of the dressing room and walked out the back of the arena, the Arkansas team was coming out, and he was right there, and I just told him, I says, hey, nice game. And he looked at me, and he says, oh, did you see the game? And I looked at him, and I said, you know, I'm the guy that had the stripes on the court next to you. And when he said that to me, I said, well, I was not a part of the game. I didn't determine the outcome, and I was so... I'm short
kind of
anyway.
In the background.
In the background, that he didn't even notice that I was the referee.
A good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't want to be the one to determine the outcome of the game. That's the one thing you don't want to do.
And here's the big question: do attorneys make good referees?
There's only one other attorney I know that is refereeing basketball, but actually I think they do. I think you learn how to make quick and fair judgments and decisions.
Right.
And, you know, I think it really helps you to be, weigh the whole situation, and boom, you make a decision.
In an instant.
Yeah.
Right.
In an instant.
So never swayed one way or the other, right?
No, in fact,
always indifferent.
I think that's one of the things that I brought to the table, is I'm able to remove myself. Because I remember when I first got assigned a high school basketball game, a varsity game, I got assigned to the high school that I graduated from.
Oh, no kidding.
So I talked to the assigner, and I says, hey, you better pull me off this game because I graduated from this high school. And he says, well, can you still be fair? I said, yeah. He says, well, there's no problem. So I called the game, and, you know, it's just, that's the kind of mindset you have to take to be a well-respected official.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's take that into your law practice. So you're a well-respected attorney, and what kind of things would you say you're most involved in with regard to estate planning? Like, what do people go to you for most of the time?
Most of the time, people come to me when they have problems.
Mm-hmm.
They have a problem with as trustee of a trust, or they're a beneficiary and they're having problems with a beneficiary. Another beneficiary. Other times, not as often as those, people come in because, hey, you know, my kids are grown, mm-hmm. and I think they can take over some of the responsibilities, and or hey, you know, I have three grandchildren now, and I'd like to provide for their education and things like that. And so they come in for a review.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main things that I try to tell my clients is that, you know, they need to review their trust and estate documents on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
The standard is every 3 to 5 years. But if you have a birth, a death,
mm-hmm.
A marriage, a divorce, somebody gets incapacitated, those are the type of life situations where you need to look at your documents and say, well, are they still pertinent? Are they still correct? Mm-hmm. Are they so relevant? That's correct. Because, you know, you may have assigned your brother or your sister to be one of your agents, but as you get older, your brother and sister may not be capable of performing the duties that you want them to. Mm-hmm. And your kids at that point would be old enough to maybe take over, or somebody else.
Right.
But you have to go back and look.
And I think that's one of the biggest questions is, you know, who should be the trustee or co-trustees for my estate? And how do you typically help somebody determine that?
Well, one of the things that you have to have is you have to have trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing that if they don't have somebody, I ask them, well, who do you trust? It's easy in the situation where you have a lot of brothers and sisters and, you know, you're close to one or the one
right.
of them. But it's difficult when you don't have the family behind you.
Right.
And I've had several clients, although I don't like to, they've listed me.
Right.
And, I told them, I said, I'll do it for you, but if you can come up with somebody else along the way, come in and let's change this because I may not be around myself because, So it really varies. They not only have to have the integrity to carry on the position, but they also have to have the mental ability.
Right.
So, your sister may be a nice person, but if she cannot handle making financial decisions for you, or if your brother is a nice guy, but, he has trouble making a decision on your physical medical decisions, then maybe they may not be the best candidate.
Right.
So you've got to keep on searching.
I think a lot of times I've seen situations where the person will choose somebody that they enjoy talking with or that they have a good relationship with, but they may not have necessarily the capabilities to manage the trust or
exactly.
the estate.
Right. Well, one of the things that people always think, the documents that you need to have while you're still alive are the Advanced Healthcare Directive and your power of attorney. Those are the things that you will need to have somebody act on your behalf while you're still alive. The will and the trust are documents that are used pretty much after you're gone.
Right.
So who would you want to really have in a trusting position? Somebody who's going to make decisions for you while you're still alive and you can be directly affected, or somebody who's going to, be involved after you're gone and, they may or may not be able to do the job, but, you're gone.
Have you seen situations where there'll be different people responsible for different documents or aspects of your estate?
Definitely. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the same person for all four of the different documents.
Give me an example. Like maybe a...
Somebody may have a brother who's a business person, a CPA or something, or even an attorney or something, and that you may want to have that person, provided you trust them and everything, to handle your power of attorney,
okay,
to make the financial decisions for you, pay your bills and all that kind of stuff. That person may not necessarily be the one to make your medical decisions if you're not willing to share exactly what your personal feelings are when you're incapacitated. So that may be either another sibling or it could be a parent, that kind of thing. So that's where it would split off.
Okay.
You have to pick a person who is not only have the integrity but also have the capability to function.
And now is it something where you also account for the relationships of those people and how they can work together? Because sometimes they might not be able to work together.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're at odds perhaps.
Well, that's one of the not pitfalls, but it's a consideration that you have to take into account. If you're going to name co-trustees or co-personal representatives, because if they disagree, there's no agreement, there's no decision.
Right. You can't move forward.
Yeah. So I try to get them to use one before the other. So if one cannot act, then the secondary would step forward and act on their behalf.
I see.
But a lot of times if you go to an odd number of people, then it'd be a majority vote.
Right.
But it gets cumbersome when you have to get everybody in on the decision.
Right.
So some situations dictate that. It's not ideal where you just have one trusted person to make the decisions for you.
Right. Well, Frederick, I want to talk a little bit more about what are some of the changes that have occurred, maybe some more recent decisions that you've had to help your clients make because of these changes. And we'll go more into depth about these different instruments that you brought up earlier. So okay. We'll talk more about that right after this commercial break.
Okay, great.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because, as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, we have attorney Frederick Hu. He's the owner of Estate Planning Hawaii. And right before the break, we were kind of talking about different instruments, folks can have when it comes to their different assets and situations. But I wanted to go back and, you mentioned in the first segment you had a client that came to you and had brought the same envelope with documents that was originally given to them unopened. Now, when one has, like, say, a trust, right, how often should they be at least reviewing them? You mentioned 3 to 5 years, but are there any points in life or events that would kind of like trigger them to say, hey, maybe I should come and talk to my attorney?
Well, people should come in when they, again, have a life-changing situation, a birth, death, marriage, divorce. Those are kind of the normal triggers. But one of the things that people don't look at is the person that I listed as to act as my agent in whatever capacity, does that person still have the wherewithal to act on my behalf? And do I have now another person who can do a better job and, more likely in the foreseeable future, they will be in position to take over when the time comes? A good example is I have a client who has not looked at their documents since the 1980s.
Wow.
And they called my office to come in and do a update and review, and I says, wow, the law was different back in 1980. but she had young children then, and now the children are, 30 plus years older, and now they can take over. Mm-hmm. And the person that she had designated is probably the same age as her. And so, they may not be interested in continuing on, and they don't want the responsibility. And the kids, because they're going to be probably her natural heirs, would want to help if they can, mm-hmm. because it's their parents. Mm-hmm. And so, The one thing I do caution you, though, is that besides what people think, people don't necessarily die in order. Mm-hmm. So, you may go before your kids may go before you. Mm-hmm. And so, you have to be cognizant of that. But, get your documents out and look at them. If there's anything that can occur after today's presentation, is that I hope you go back and say, hey, maybe I should go take a look at my documents.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you touched upon, the law has changed since the 80s when your client had the trust made. What are some of the big changes that's been since then?
Well, the biggest change is the fact that the government, the federal government, has decided that only the very, very rich, the top, less than 1% of people will be subject to the estate inheritance tax. Mm-hmm. And so the majority of people coming in are not going to be subject to the federal estate tax.
Now, when you say not subject, there's a monetary amount in which they will be
That's
subject.
Correct.
Is
That's
that
right.
roughly 11 million?
Yes, 11 and a half million. Now, okay. if you are in that category, then there are other more sophisticated estate planning techniques that right. we will try to use to get you below that amount, because any assets that are above that limit gets heavily taxed.
Right.
And so you want to...
That's per person, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
if it's a married couple, then it's 11.5 each.
Yes, it's 22 okay. million. 22. And with married couples, they now have the ability to pass on the unused portion of their exemption. So, for instance, if the wife passes away and she's only used 5 million mm-hmm. of the exemption, the other 6.5 million can be added on to the husband's side.
Mm-hmm.
So then he has 11.5 plus 6.5.
6.5, right.
Yeah. They call that portability. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the changes that occurred.
Now, you know, when folks, you know, meet with you and, you know, they want to say, you know, set up a trust, you know, oftentimes the purpose for it is, again, they want to make sure that their kids or their heirs are, you know, taken care of, right, after they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes they end up, you know, they're not... they're focused on the kids versus their own care. How would you go about in terms of advising them as to what they should do in those situations?
One of the things I tell clients like this, those in that same situation, is I tell them, you know, it's nice to leave a legacy to your beneficiaries, to your children, you know, to give them something. But you shouldn't be eating spam and ramen every night to give your child the opportunity to eat steak, you know, when you're gone. You know, the money that you earned, saved, accumulated through your lifetime should be used for your benefit. Mm-hmm. And if the kids get something, if there's something left over, then the kids get that and they divide it up. But, you know, I try to plead with my clients that, you know, use the money for yourself first. And as a secondary, outcome, your kids will get whatever you haven't used up.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Now, Eric, we're encountering situations, especially now with the pandemic situation, where I guess people aren't too sure about their financial positions, right? And maybe they're going to need to pull some government assistance to support themselves, you know, and especially if they're advanced in years. As many of our kupuna are, you know, they're worried about their care. How would you advise somebody in that situation? You know,
well, you know, a lot of kupuna are looking to try and save some of their assets so their kids have a mm-hmm. have a legacy that you know they can inherit.
Right.
But the law will not allow them to give their assets away and then qualify for something, a government assistance like Medicaid.
Okay.
There's a 5-year look back so that any transaction that of your assets that you've given out will get clawed back and you'll get penalized by not having your application approved for the number of months it takes to recover that amount. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen a case where a man paid for his kid's wedding, $20,000.
Okay.
And they clawed that back.
Huh.
Yeah, and they said that you're going to be penalized for the $20,000 that you gave to.
And it's because this gentleman applied for Medicaid.
Right.
And he did receive the assistance.
Well, he got penalized. He had to wait the number of months it would have taken to. As if he paid the $20,000, if he had the $20,000. So, if it was $10,000 a
right.
month,
right.
he would be penalized 2 months before
right.
he could reapply.
Right. Because I guess, and it does make sense in that, you know, this is a government assistance program. It's not just free money.
It's a safety net.
It's a safety net,
for
right.
those that have absolutely nothing. You have to be pretty destitute to qualify for Medicaid.
Right.
And, I mean, with proper planning, yeah, you could. There are ways to, you know, save the personal home residence and things like that up to a certain limit. But, you know, you always hear the horror story that, oh, I'm going to give my house to my kid,
mm-hmm.
and then the kid gets married, and in-law says, I don't want your mother living here. We own the house. Get your mother. And, you know.
And then they don't have a say in the matter.
They don't. They can't. Once it's gone, it's gone. And so they end up coming to see me. I mean, that's generates business for us.
And again, they see you when there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd rather have them come in and see me when there's no problem, right, and set everything up with the reminder, please look at these things after you get it from me.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, Frederick, is there any final word of advice that you give our listeners, many of whom are Kupuna, about, you know, the current times and their situation? If there was some advice, what would you say?
If you haven't done your estate planning, please consider getting it done. Right. You don't have to come to me, but, you know, please get it done. Right. And if you have done it, don't wait 30 years before you look at it again.
Before you open out that envelope.
Yes. Yes.
Now, if somebody wants to get a hold of your office, Frederick, how can they do that?
My office phone number is 237-4100. 237-4100. Again, I'm in the Yacht Harbor Tower Professional Center, so I'm not in downtown Honolulu, which is a good thing.
Easier.
Yes. And or they can go to my website, estateplanninghawaii.net. Estateplanninghawaii.net.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. Again, we've been talking with Frederick Hu, owner of Estate Planning Hawaii. Thanks so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because, as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Have you ever been worried leaving your loved one alone? Whether it be illness, a fall, or just personal safety, the Electronic Caregiver Mobile Medical Alert System with GPS technology will give you that peace of mind. With the simple press of a button, an on-call staff member will be able to locate you and provide expedited help by alerting family or emergency medical services. To learn more about the Electronic Caregiver, call Priscilla Wong at 954-0820 and mention Kupuna Wiki to receive a free gift.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back, and now we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
What was the name of the famous Honolulu restaurant that was the first revolving restaurant in the United States?
First, huh? Well, for a chance to win a Logs gift card, be the first person to call us with the correct answer at 808-792-5188. And remember, if you want to hear past episodes of Kupuna Wiki Radio or would like to be introduced to some of our great service partners, please go to our website at kupunawiki.com or even call us at 808-792-5188.
Again, we'd like to thank this segment sponsor, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 753-9033.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show, Hawaii's senior resource. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Again, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you back next time on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Kupuna Wiki Radio Program. If you'd like more information about today's topics, please call us at 792-5188. That's 792-5188. Or visit us online at kupunawiki.com. Until next time, aloha.
The preceding program was sponsored by Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource.